Very appropriate command for us in here and TJ here. You here? We here? TJ land and.
Uh-oh. I should say this all around.
I'm gonna beat him a Rav. I know, Ellie. As soon as Ellie learns this command, I'm in big trouble. So we're gonna skip. We're not doing this command. You saw which gemara?
Do you see which gemara
I'm talking about? Did you see it? Did you know what I saw the first few words. I'm a Rav Yudah Marav. Now, somehow or another, this has to relate to Tchiyas HaMeisim. We realize that. Everything until now we've been doing is Tchiyas HaMeisim. And somehow or another, this has to do with Tchiyas HaMeisim. Kalamaneya halachim v'pitam. But anyone that refrains from teaching halacha, halacha means gemara. Halacha doesn't always mean halacha. Halakha means Torah that gives you a way of life. Halakha means to walk. When the Gemara says the word halakha, it doesn't mean mishtabura. Kalamenei halakha mipi Talmud. He withholds a life lesson, halakha, from a Talmud. Ki lugayz da minachas avayisav. It's like stealing away his ancestral heritage. It's Geneva. A Rebbe doesn't teach a Talmud halakha. It's Geneva. Aye. Why is it Geneva? It's the Rebbe's. It's not the Talmud's. What, if I have money, and I don't give it to you, I'm a Ganav? The Gemara says, yeah, you're a Ganav. A Rebbe that has Torah, the Rebbe is not the Bailam on his Torah. You know who the Bailam is on the Torah? The Talmud is a Bailam on the Rebbe's Torah. Whoa, strong words. Shenemar. It's a pasuk. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded us the Torah. Meirasha kiel is yankiv. It's an inheritance. Kiel is yankiv to the congregation of yankiv. What does that mean? Meirashi, it's an inheritance. L'chol Yisrael, to each and every Jew. Mishesh yishim ebreishis. Where did they inherit it from? An inheritance has to be inherited from somewhere. Where did they inherit it from? They inherited from Sheshim Ebreish. This Gemara is an enigma. We'll get back to it, okay? They inherited
What's
from Sheshim. An enigma is something that's a mystery. It's behind the veil. It's an enigma. It's like
I thought this whole Gemara. So
every, you know, this whole parody is an enigma.
We're all the way up to heaven.
Yo, guys.
Misheshim Ebreish. Klal Yisrael inherited the Torah from the 6 days of creation, and the Rebbe that has the Torah is holding on to the Yerusha of Klal Yisrael. It's like he's a Shomer. He's a Shomer. Every Rebbe is like a Shomer. He's not Petrapus. He's a Shomer. But it's the Torah of Klal Yisrael. Where did they get it from? Sheishas Yimei Bereishas. Very, very enigmatic. Amr of Chana bar Bizna, Chana the son of Bizna says, Amr of Shimon Chasida, he says in the name of Shimon Chasida. Kalamenei halacha mipi Talmud, anyone that refrains from teaching halacha to Talmud. Avila ubrin shibimeima mekalun oisai, even the fetuses, fetusai, whatever you call them, fetus. Even the fetuses in the mother's stomach curse a Rebbe that refrains from teaching Talmud Torah. What are they doing? Who asked them? How did they get involved in this? Could you imagine? Listen. Could you imagine? A Talmud says, Rebbe, teach me Torah. The Rebbe says, no. All of a sudden, all the pregnant ladies in Klal Yisrael, all the fetuses start cursing the Rebbe out. That's what the Gemara says.
Interesting.
That's all you have to say about this?
Talmud is...
Shenemar? It's a pasuk. Menea bar?
Oh, it means like literally?
Anybody that refrains from Torah, bar is Torah. Literally, bar means...
Or life lessons, like you said.
Yeah, bar is life-sustaining material. It's like grain, you know. it's nourishment, but it means Torah. The word means nourishment, but it means Torah. Manea bar, if you hold back Torah, you hold back Torah, yikvu la'um. You're going to get cursed by la'um. What's la'um? Bein la'um ela'obin. La'um is fetuses. Shenema, it says in Parshas Toldos, one fetus is overpowering the other fetus. It's referring to Yaakov and Esav in their mother's stomach. So they're both a couple of la'ums. And they're fighting. So you see that a la'um is a baby in a mother's stomach. And a Rebbe that doesn't teach Torah to a Talmud, he holds back. The Ubrin, the fetuses, curse him. Curse him. La'um, the fetuses. Vein kavai elaklola. The word kavai means curse. Shinema ma'ekav lekavakel. The Bilam said, how could I curse the Bnei Yisrael if God doesn't curse the Bnei Yisrael?
What?
So it's just wrong?
Rabbi Klatsko said, don't check off the Gemara.
Just for the mitzvahs.
Right, Brian?
Shinema nashku bar. What's that? You also from the Gemara? Oh, wow. Just for the mitzvahs.
You're buying Gemara?
Nashku bar pen yanaf. Nashkavar Penyana, that means Torah. I don't know exactly how it means Torah. Ulavar Yishmalayma said that the fetuses in their mother's stomach, they don't just curse the Rebbe that doesn't teach Torah. They do more than curse. Menak when I say Kikvara. They punch holes into the Rebbe. The fetuses in the mother's stomach punch holes into the Rebbe like a sieve.
It's not worth it.
Like a sieve. Sieve haki yikvula'um. It says that they yikvula'um, that they no cave him. Nekev. Nekev can mean curse. Nekev could also mean a hole. Nekev. Yikvula'um. Sieve hasam ve yikev charbedalosai. They punch a hole in the door. So he says not only do they curse him, the word yikev has two meanings. One is curse and one is to punch holes in. Abayi says, Kiyuchu dekatsu, like a basket of a laundry man. If you're doing laundry, everyone knows, if you're doing laundry, it gets sopping wet. So how do you dry it out? Before there were dryers, they had a basket that would fill the holes, and they suspended it, they hung it up, and they put the wet clothes inside of the basket, and then the water would drip out of the holes, and that's the way you would drain the water. So these babies in their embryonic stage, not only would they curse the Rebbe, they would pierce them with holes, and not only would they pierce them with holes, they'd pierce them with holes to the extent that he's so full of holes he can't even hold the water of wash, you know, you can put clothes in him and the water's going to drain, so it's a lot of holes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty intense.
What if he teaches him? What's his scar? Now let's be positive. What did one ion say to the other ion? Let's be positive. Are you positive? What the proton say? What the proton say to the eye, to the electron? Why are you so negative? What the electron asked the proton? Are you positive? Okay, keep going. I mean, keep going.
I have no idea what's going
on. Remember,
what did the book say to the wall?
What just happened?
It's too dirty.
What did the book say to the wall?
What
did the book say to the wall?
I don't know.
I either know.
Vimlim de Mascaroi? And if you taught him what's his reward, Amarav and Rishashis, Zayche lebrachas ki Yosef. He merits the brachas that come upon Yosef.
What was yours? I thought Yosef.
Shinema? Ubracha? Yosef is blessed, he becomes like a wellspring. Marosh Mashbir. He feeds and sustains everyone. He becomes like a non-ending wellspring. That the brach is, you teach someone Torah, you become a non-ending wellspring. You keep overflowing, and everybody gets from you. Vein mashmel Yosef. The sustainer is Yosef. Yosef is the prototype sustainer. Shneimar, the Yosef was shalat al aretz. He rules over the land of Egypt. Who are mashmel chal amaretz? He sustains all the people of the land. Amr of Shesh is called Malamed Torah by Lamazah. Anyone that learns Torah in this world, Zaycha Malamed Elam Abba. He learns Torah forever. Shneimar, Merave Gam Hu Yaira. Merave is the word that's used to describe when you water a plant or you water a field. Merave, you water the field, Gam Hu Yaira, you're going to be Zaycha to be a waterer in the future. Merave is present tense and Yaira is future tense. Rashi points out Merav, if you switch around the letters, is also the letters of Moreh. Moreh is to teach or to instruct. So Merav means to water and Moreh means to teach. It's the same letters. Why? Because when you teach someone, you're watering them.
Again?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we were talking about Tchiyas HaMeisim, then we're talking about a Rebbe teaching Torah, and then we go back to Tchiyas HaMeisim, which means they have to do with each other. So we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. Minayin Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah Shneimar, Yichi Reuven should live al yamais and don't die. Now that's sort of obvious because if you live, you don't die. Yichi Reuven v'al yamais. So it's redundant, and there's nothing redundant in the Torah. So what do we learn now? From the Yichi Reuven v'al mazeh, the Yaakov is telling you you're going to live in this world, v'al yamais l'elam haba. But you're going to keep on living, you won't die in l'elam haba. Ravina amar mihacha, pasuk in Daniel, v'rabi, this is a very explicit pasuk, by the way. V'rabi m'yisheni admas, afar, the many from those that sleep, in the ground of dust, that's dead people. Yakitsu, they're going to wake up. The dead are going to wake up. The people that are sleeping in the dust are going to wake up. Eilu l'chaya, Eilam, they're going to be these that are going to live forever. Eilu l'cherpas l'diren arim, those are going to be shamed forever. That's pretty clear. Pretty clear. I know, it's like a shame. I think it's another word for shame. That's what I think. Vashia Mimihacha. Also Daniel. Bata Lech, the Kate, go, Vitanua, and go to sleep. Which means die. Tanuach means menucha. Menuchase Eden. V'tamayd, and get up, l'gerocha. Gerocha is your lot. Your lot. L'keitze yamer for the end of days. So that means you're going to lie down, you're going to get up in the end of days. Yamin? Yamin, yes, Daniel. Daniel, you could do that, right? Daniel, we could do that. So let's go talk about this a few minutes. I'm going to leave early today. I have a wedding to go to. It's a miracle that I'm here at all. I'm going to a wedding. I'm not tired. I'm not feeling. I'm feeling great. I'm just
tired.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. No, it doesn't. I can't eat anyway.
Rabbi, you can't request the thing?
There's no point. I go there, I stay a little bit of time, I go home and I eat what I want. Why should I bother, you know, picking and choosing? You sit there for 3 hours and the things I could eat, I could finish in 20 minutes. You know, if you could eat whatever they serve, then they serve a course and another course and another course and another course. But if not, like, what's the point?
Right.
All right. If I make your wedding, I'll stay the whole time. So I'll eat celery the whole time.
I'm going to rub a zit off for dinner tonight when I'm making eggs. Yeah, I'm making eggs.
Eggs, I love eggs.
For dinner?
For our shear. I'm cooking for our shear for dinner.
See, I'm going to some fancy restaurants, meet this at. I can stick with eggs. I'm good to go.
Eggs, cheese, and a bagel.
You think that?
No, in lobsters, I eat eggs every morning.
With potatoes and eat the chips.
In the morning, yeah.
No, you get sick of it.
Okay, fine. Of eggs, cereal, all
right.
Okay. Eggs.
I don't really think this is necessary anymore.
Okay, let's explain.
Cereal, eggs. So the website can hear about Ellie Hoffman's eating habits.
No. Website.
You are so cracked out.
The website is going to hear the sound of Ellie Hoffman being skinned alive.
Skinned alive.
And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Ouch.
I'm going to start with the eyelids. Peel the eyelids away.
All right, enough for everybody.
Okay. Back to
this. It's not good, right? Bad publicity.
The international community will love you. That's what they want. They crave violence.
Yo mama Osama. This is the sound of a knife being opened. What happens when a Rebbe teaches? Oh my. This is sharp. Yep.
Ooh.
This is a...
Ow.
It's okay.
The Clorinox are the best.
The Gemara is talking about embryos or fetuses or babies. I don't know. I don't know what you call them. In order to have any Havana, any Teresa in this Gemara, the one thing we have to understand is what happens, what is the process of a Rebbe teaching Torah to a Talmud? That way you can understand what doesn't happen when he doesn't teach Torah to a Talmud. Because we'll start with the Rashi in Chumash. The pasuk says, Elu told us Meshav Aaron. These are the children of Moshe and Aaron. These are the children of Moshe and Aaron. And it lists four people, Elazar, Nadav Avihu, Elazar, and Isamar. So the pasuk starts out by introducing the children of Moshe and Aaron. And the pasuk lists the four children of Aaron, Nadav Avihu, Elazar, and Isamar. Moshe Rabbeinu had two children, Gershom and Eliezer. It doesn't list them. If we're listing the children of Moshe and Aaron, so we should list Moshe's children, we should list Aaron's children. Why are we only listing Aaron's children?
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, so Rashi explains that we're not talking about the biological children of Moshe and Aaron. We're talking about the children of Moshe and Aaron. Aaron's children were Moshe's children. Aaron's children were Moshe's children.
Well, all of Klal Yisrael was, no?
No. I mean, in a way, yes, but, you know.
And Moshe's children were Moshe's children?
In a way, not. Klal Yisrael did not hear all of the Torah directly from Moshe Rabbeinu.
They did?
They're like grandchildren, you know. They're one step removed. They heard it in a condensed form, but they heard it in a condensed form from Moshe Rabbeinu. They heard it in a condensed form from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it says, Bana Matem Hashem Lekechem.
So Aaron's children heard it directly from
Moshe. Yeah, that was their Rebbe.
Why aren't they listed in the Pirkei
Avot? Because Yeshua was not Le'yamish B'Teichayim.
What?
Yeshua was Nala Yamish Mutaykhaya. Yeshua never left Moshe's side. The Torah that they learned was directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, but they left Moshe's side. Yeshua didn't. They're Moshe Rabbeinu's children. The Torah says something. It's not just giving an analogy. The Torah says these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and these are the children of Aaron and Moshe. It's it's not just, oh, I love you, like a son, you know. No, these are the children of my Shanah. How does someone become a child of someone? It's not possible. You can't reverse the clock. You can't turn the clock back. Give birth. He didn't give birth to them. They were born from Aaron. How could they be my children? How are they his children? In what way are they his children? And they are his children. Because the Torah says so. And the Yisrael Adav is like this. We said this Yisrael. We're going to come across this Yisrael many times. This is Mamash Yisrael of all life. Torah is not just something that you learn. Torah is something that you are. You are Torah. You're Torah. You learn Torah, you are Torah. My Rebbe, Rebbe Gifter, used to bring a raya from the Gemara Chagiga. I think I mentioned it before. The Gemara says that fire doesn't burn tzaddikim. One of the examples of Ram Avinu, he was thrown into a kitchen of fire. He was thrown into a furnace by Nimrod, it didn't burn him. Kanani, Mishal, Vazai, he was thrown into fire, it didn't burn them. So the Gemara says it wasn't an ace. That the fire really should have burnt them, and Hashem felt that since it's a tzaddikim, so Hashem is going to send a malach to save them. The Kanani, Mishal, Vazai, Hashem sent a malach to save them. That's upshot. Fire doesn't burn tzaddikim. The Gemara brings a pasuk. The Gemara says that there's one thing that fire can't burn. Fire can't burn fire. I said it a few weeks ago. Fire doesn't burn fire. And tzaddikim are fire. So fire can't burn tzaddikim. It's a correlation. Tzaddikim are fire. Fire doesn't burn fire. So fire doesn't burn tzaddikim. The Gemara says, how do you know tzaddikim are fire? The pasuk says, Halai kai dvarai ke'esh ne'om Hashem. Behold, my words are like fire, so says Hashem. My words are like fire, so says Hashem. My refractive gifter, Zechor Levracha, the Gemara says that fire doesn't burn fire, so fire doesn't burn Torah. Torah is like fire. But it could burn the tzaddik. How do you know it can't burn the tzaddik? You can't burn Torah, because fire can't burn fire. And the pasuk says that Torah is fire, so can't burn Torah. But the tzaddik, it could burn. What's the Gemara talking about? You're trying to bring a proof that you can't burn a tzaddik, and you're proving it from the fact you can't burn Torah. And for the Rebbe, Zechor Levracha, Shikoyim Svasel Davis Bekever, when a mathematician learns math, he does not become a piece of mathematics. You learn math, you do not turn into an equation. When you learn about astronomy, you don't become a galaxy, or a black hole, or a dwarf star.
You become a black hole.
But when you learn Tiras Hashem, someone that learns Tiras Hashem, and he's the Madrega of a tzaddik, he becomes Tayyidus Hashem. His very body, the physical part of him, is transformed. And he becomes something totally new. He becomes Tayyidus Hashem. If Torah is fire, and the tzaddik learns Torah, then the tzaddik is fire, and fire cannot burn fire. And that's what the Gemara in Tainus likes to quote. And when the Talmud Chacham gets angry, so you have a big kasha in the Talmud Chacham. How could a Talmud Chacham get angry? It's a raya that he has bad midas. Anger is one of the worst things. The Gemara says, no, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Be done him lekav zkus. Because he's fire. And someone has fire. You have to be done him lekav zkus. It's wrong. The Gemara says it's wrong. You have to be done him lekav zkus. Yes,
I gotta get out of here.
You have my number?
Yeah.
You have my number? My Israeli number you have?
Yeah, I'm picking up
the phone. Alright, but you have my Israeli number? Alright, so in case you don't get me, leave a message or something. You know. I'm told it's very difficult to get through to me.
I'll
No cell phone.
My cell, don't try. Just call me home. Leave a message. No, pity. Don't ever do that to me again. Never. Don't.
It's a good surprise, though.
Yeah, no, but I would have anticipated. I would have looked forward to it. I could have made arrangements.
What happened?
Shows up today in the middle of lunch. Hi, you know. And then my glasses on either. All of a sudden, some.
I told Noam not to tell you.
He didn't. Noam did not tell me. I'm going to give it to him for that one.
That's
it.
He's coming.
Well, I should have asked me. Somebody told me not to tell you.
He came here to speak.
Yeah, he told us you were coming. If Basito would have asked me, I would have told him. Nobody told me not to.
That's great shit. I guess. Any questions about it?
Do you know Kinnivan Rakowski today? How's he doing?
He's doing his job. He was no job.
Yeah. He stayed for 1 year in OJ. It's like, no one can shoot.
Alright. Okay. Hey, Penny. Come for you. Tanya changes a person over. It changes over. My Rebbe once said, Zikr Levraka, the Rambam in his work, Yad Chazaka, writes how a Talmud Chacham is chayav to get 8 hours of sleep a day. It's a halacha. Rambam writes the halacha. Rambam's not just giving medical advice. It's halacha. It's Torah. He said not to get less than 8 hours a day.
So who has to get 8 hours?
In order to be a Talmud, what? In Hilchos Deis, Rambam paskins that a person must get a minimum of 8 hours sleep a day.
Talmud Chacham or a person?
Everyone.
For hours.
Hours.
I never heard that one before.
Oh, well, Ellie.
Exactly.
No hope for us.
The stipler advised the person either get 8 hours straight or to split it up into two groups, 7 hours at night and 1 hour during the day. The Rebbe said, what about the G'dayli Eilim? G'dayli Eilim, to them, the Rambam's words is Mamish Tayyim Sinai, you know. They don't veer from the Rambam and Iota. And they slept an hour, half an hour, 2 hours, maybe. G'dayli Eilim. Klal Yisrael. Is Klai Yisrael's legacy. It was enriched with stories about Gedalia Yisrael that didn't sleep. The Rebbe said, the Rambam, the Pshat in the Rambam is Azoya. A physical being needs 8 hours and not anything less than 8 hours. But when someone learns Torah, the Torah changes him. So when you start learning Torah, you're still a physical being. And you need physical nourishment, and sleep is a nourishment. You got to sleep 8 hours. You sleep that less than 8 hours, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. But the more Torah you learn, so your body is nourished from the Torah. It doesn't need physical sleep as much as it did before, because the more Torah you learn, the more your body changes, and the body goes through changes that it can get nourished actually from the Torah. So you need less sleep because you get nourishment from the Torah. You learn more, you need even less sleep. He said that this halacha lemaisa, the Ben Torah should start out getting enough sleep. And as he grows in learning, if he finds he needs less, then he can take away from it. It should be a gradual process. There was a bacha here that he was dead. He mamish wanted to add time to his day, but he didn't want to take away at the expense of his clarity of mind. So he started learning before shacharis. He started getting here at 7 o'clock in the morning and learning for half an hour. And every day he would add 5 minutes. He was very miserable about it. Or a week. He would do it by week. After another week, he'd come at 5 to 7. And another week, until he worked his way up to 6:30. At a certain point, he was bleary-eyed. He stopped doing it. But he was able to add an hour to his day just by a little bit of time. What?
I don't know how he did it.
Rabbi Kaplan. Rabbi G said Rabbi Kaplan.
Rabbi Kaplan doesn't
sleep. I think Rabbi Lindsay was just kind of like, hey, what do you need sleep for?
Okay. No, that's kind of Torah. Right? There's no Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Lechem lo yachalti, mayim lo shasisi." Bread I didn't eat, water I didn't drink. Don Chaim has a question. Why does he have to tell us what he didn't eat? Let him just tell him he didn't eat. Say, lo yachalti, I didn't eat. Lo shishiti, I didn't drink. Why did Moshe have to say, I didn't eat bread? Why are we interested in what he didn't eat? He didn't eat it! Don Chaim said, because he did eat. Bread I didn't eat. Water I didn't drink. But I did eat. And I did drink. He ate Torah. It's in his own way. He followed the Seder with a shot. He made up his own Seder based on. When a Rebbe. Practice. When a Rebbe has Torah.
That's the Ram.
The Gemara says. So from Sheish Shemei Bereishis, the Torah belongs to Klal Yisrael from Sheish Shemei Bereishis. There was no Klal Yisrael from Sheish Shemei Bereishis. There wasn't. Klal Yisrael didn't come about at least till Avraham Avinu. That's like the earliest point. Neich was not Jewish. Mrs. Shelach wasn't Jewish. The earliest Jew is Avraham. Maybe. Could be Avraham or the 12 Shvatim. You know, depending on what your gauge is. Rashi says it doesn't matter. There were no Jews in Sheish Shemei Bereishis. But God made the entire universe, the entire creation, the entire Sheish Shemei Bereishis, the 6 days of creation, all were brought out into, you know, all were revealed into this world because a Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that Klal Yisrael was destined to emerge. Sheish Shemei Bereishis was revealed in this world, all the things of Shishim, because in the future there's going to be a Klal Yisrael.
What do you mean revealed?
Shishim Abrashim was a 7 day, it was a 6 day process of revealing things in this world.
I thought they were created.
They were created on the first day and then they're revealed on each day subsequently.
That's only according to the...
Everyone has a question.
Everyone? I thought that's the Rambam. It says everything was created and then put into form.
Rashi brings Midrashim. It says Bereishis Bara Elokim as a Shemayim v'Saaretz. It means everything is there.
He made all the matter, and then he...
It was revealed on each day. It got its final form on each day. The word Bereishis is a composite word. Bereishis is Bishvil Bereishis, for the sake of the first ones. Bereishis means for the sake of the first ones. Klal Yisrael is the first ones. Klal Yisrael is called the first. They're the first ones on the scene to recognize God. They are the first. They are the races. They're the choice. The world was created for Klal Yisrael. The Torah is also called Racious. There's two things called Racious. Klal Yisrael is called Racious. Racious are Yitzhakim. They're the first of the dough. Torah is called Racious. Racious Kachmir is Hashem. God created the world for two Racious, two firsts. He created the world for the Torah, he created the world for Klal Yisrael. How do you reconcile the contradiction?
They're the same.
That's right. Shatta Dagmar means Klal Yisrael and the Torah are the same. They belong with one another. The world was created for what purpose? So Klal Yisrael should become one with the Torah. Now, if the Rebbe has the Torah and the Talmud does not have the Torah, how is the Talmud supposed to become one with the Torah? And the Talmud was created to be one with the Torah, and the Torah was created to be one with the Talmud. How? The Talmud can't do it on his own. The Talmud recognizes that there's a Torah within his Rebbe, that the only way he has access to this Torah is if the Rebbe gives it to him. And our scroll is not going to do it. There's a Torah in the Rebbe. There's a Torah in the Rebbe. The Rebbe, what do you say? The Rebbe, the Gemara says this. The Rebbe has life. He has a life force within him.
The Rebbe what?
The Rebbe has a life force contained within him. What the Torah which he is to teach the Talmud. And the reason why the Rebbe has this life force is because he is entrusted to give this over to the Talmud. And it doesn't belong to the Rebbe. It's the Talmud's Torah, and the Rebbe is holding on to it. He's got to give it to the Talmud. When he gives it to the Talmud, this is a real cool thing. When he gives it to the Talmud, He is taking the potential life force. It's all potential. And he gives it to the Talmud that becomes actual. It changes the Talmud. And the Talmud becomes something now that he wasn't before the Torah was taught to him. Do you know what that process is? That's the process of giving birth. You hear what's going on? Because what the Talmud becomes after learning the Torah that's in the Rebbe, the Talmud wasn't that before. That was in potential. And when the Talmud learns it, the Rebbe takes the potential, gives it to the Talmud, and the Talmud becomes something else. The Talmud, the Torah that's in the Rebbe, is like an embryo. Starting to become clear? The Torah that's in the Rebbe is like the embryo. And when the Rebbe teaches the Talmud, that's giving birth. That's the embryo coming out. And when it changes the Talmud into something else, that's the baby. Can you understand now why Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of Aaron's children? He's mamish the father. Not biologically. Even better. The Torah he taught them made them into what they were, and that Torah came from him. So they changed. They became something else because of a force within the Rebbe. Let's talk about a curse. Okay. What's a curse? You know what a curse is called? An Allah. V'davku b'cha kalha Allah sa'ila. It's called an Allah. Curse. What's the Sharia's word? Allah? Al. Al means?
Not.
Right. Nisht. A klala is a vacuum. It's a negative. That means this thing is here, and the klala is going to make it be a negative, to delete it. A klala is the delete button. You ever heard the expression, I'm hungry, I think I'm going to go delete some Twinkies? It used to be inhaling Twinkies, but now I'm going to press the delete button. I'm going to delete some Twinkies. A klala is a delete button. That's what it is. It's a negative. The klala is you think you're real, you think you're here, it's not going to be that way. Klala is we're going to reduce you to nothingness. Asa shalom. When a Rebbe withholds Torah from a Talmud, so he's basically condemning the potential life source within him to a life of never coming out. That's what the Gemara means. That the Ubrim Shebei Imai, the embryos all over curse him, because what the Talmud Chacham is doing is he's dooming embryos. That is what he's doing. Embryos are not going to come out. Embryos are not going to come alive. They're going to be doomed. They're going to be nothings. And they can't. It's just not right. So he becomes, it's me to connect with me to, he is, by withholding Torah from a Talmud, he's playing out an act, he's doing a pa'ula, he's acting out that potential life should remain in the form of potential and never come out. So Mida Keneged Mida, he gets punished, that he's doomed, that his life is never going to come out. That's the way. The Gemara expresses it like this: that all the babies are cursing him. But the reason why the Gemara expresses it in those terms is because that's what he's doing. So it bounces back at him. Now, if you have a vessel, the vessel, you put a lock on the chelim pot, and nobody could take it. So it's a vessel that's not doing anybody any good. A vessel that's sealed is not a vessel. Rather, this is Negei Hilchos Shabbos about opening cans and closing cans. A vessel is a vessel that's sealed, a vessel or not. It's not really a vessel because it's not good for anything. A vessel is meant to put things in and take things out, but if you seal it, it's not a vessel. So that's why if you open it, you're making a keli. The sheet is in a machmir. That's why you can't open a can, because when it's sealed, it's not a keli. It's not good for anything. But if you open it, you make it into a keli on Shabbos. The machmir hold that's, you know, that's why. If you don't, if a rebbe doesn't give over to his talmidim, so then he's not a vessel. So he might as well have holes in the bottom of him. Because if he's sealing and no one can do nothing to get in or out, so you don't have a din of keli, so you could have, you know, that's what he says. And Abai says, Mama's like a laundry, but, you know, all the liquid just goes out. Can't hold anything. It doesn't hold anything because there's no. And that for kids are, and that could, and I could understand the shakas tzchias ameis. What's the shakas tzchias ameis? No. Because that's what tzchias ameis is all about. Tzchias ameis is about planting a seed. You plant a dead body in the ground, and the bad parts of it, you know, get eaten up. Whatever is good is left, and then it sprouts forth and comes to life. Tzchias ameis is about planting and growing, and life going on and on forever. And when a rebbe teaches a talmid, b'zer anpin, in a sense, yeah, the reason why he's considered his father is because there's something that was dormant in the talmid, which was like dead. There was a dead part of the talmid that wasn't being addressed, it wasn't being spoken to. When the Rebbe teaches the Talmud, he's like, he's watering him, you know, he's tending to him. And he's being Mechaye Mason. And that's why he's the father, because when you bring somebody back to life, you are their father. Because the biological father brought him to life the first time, and the Rebbe brought him to life the second time. Like the Gemara says that, if a child is put in a quandary, his father and his Rebbe are in mortal peril, who does he save first, the Rebbe or the father? So the Mishnah says, do you save the Rebbe? Because the Rebbe brought him into this world, but the father brought him into this world. But the Rebbe brings him to, what's the end of Olam? Isn't that Tchias Mason? Oh. Okay? You got it? Say that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that the most awesome thing you've ever heard?
Look at the cloud. What about, why does it have Philo Ubrin to make him on the calendar? So,
because the Ubrin are the ones that represent potential that it didn't come out
to. Thank you.
So why is that Philo Ubrin if it's, that's the whole point?
Oh, it's all to Rabbi.
So you know, everyone's cursing, even the potential, don't versus the potential.
That's so weird.
Why? He asked me if I want to cook it.
Yes. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. You know, he's like nothing big, just come over.